ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Barely.
Can I have more volume, please? There was a fire here in the... I'm in some other studio today.
You certainly are.
I almost got the day off today.
Yeah.
Of all the disaster, apparently a volcanic ash has settled in my regular studio here in New York.
Yeah.
Some other kind of ash.
A light ballast burst into flame or something like that.
Yes, that is something that has not happened yet here in Calcutta. Everything else has happened. But I got a message from you last night that I almost had a day off.
Yeah.
Something burst into flame in my studio.
Yes.
Like, that's a coincidence. Anyway, so here I am.
Hi.
On the air. I'm in some other little... place. Everything's all cattywampus.
You're in the studio.
My box is not in its normal place.
That's true. And neither are your phone calls.
No.
Oh, boy.
And if you've ever had a misplaced box, it is painful.
Yes, it is. But you're in the studio where Katrina was doing her satellite tour from, from Katrina and the Waves.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So it's another big show. It's Hump Days with Hal. Is he here?
He is. Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
The Hump Days.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Good morning, Hal.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm missing you. I don't know if you heard about my I Love Lucy mishap, but whenever you leave, you stayed with me all week last week.
Yes, when I everything was fine, safe. Good.
Yes, when I have no adult supervision,
mm-hmm.
No. The dogs locked me out of my apartment. And I had to climb over the fence to the neighbors, and I almost got shot, and then it's a whole long thing.
But you got to meet her neighbors.
You almost got shot?
Yes, I had a social life by accident for an evening. They invited me in for a glass of wine because I had scaled their fence and had to knock. And then the super it tried to hold me up for a lot of cash. He asked me how much it's worth to me to get into my apartment.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the worth in any money to actually help when your pipes burst in your basement and it's full of water? Should he be busy handling that?
Well, he should. Actually, I had to have my boiler replaced last night, so there was some boiler man in the apartment till like midnight.
There was
hot water.
Clearly, you're haunted right now. I would say it was just your place, but obviously the ghosts follow you to work as well.
It's because you left, and my friends all have said that. They're like, Stephanie, you need adult supervision at all times. You cannot.
It's sad when I qualify as adult supervision.
I know it.
He's quite a few years younger than you. You know
that. Yes.
He's not quite a few.
Well, he is.
A few.
Well, and those are solid years of immaturity on my part that really, and again, I'm a boy, so we mature even slower. So, you're way ahead of me, and this is not a chronological thing. This is biological and psychological.
It is a sad day when noted Tomcat Hal Sparks is the only adult supervision that I almost took my eye out on my fireplace mantle the first month I moved here, and now I'm getting locked out of the apartment by my dogs. I went on the patio, Hal, where, and then one of their giant tails.
The dogs actually go on the patio. Yeah.
Yes, and then I heard slam, and there we all were.
But, see, I still can't figure out why you turn the knob in the door handle to unlock it and then immediately turned it back to lock it. While the door was still open.
Because, as Suddenly, Alan can tell you, I was drunk, probably.
Suddenly Chris is Columbo, and you are Robert
Culp. It was after cocktail hour. I wasn't thinking.
You sound like every villainess on a Columbo episode. Yeah. Ma'am, I have one more question.
One more question.
The lock could not possibly be easier to do it. I was drunk. I don't remember a thing. You must let me rest. Please, can you not bother her anymore?
You hear
She's
the,
not guilty.
The saddest part is my daughter, my next-door neighbor, Peg, who is delightful, offered me a glass of wine while we waited for my landlady to show up and let me in. And her little daughter, Jamie, who is in fifth grade.
It's a little loud.
Uh-huh.
That's a little loud, Sean. Can you turn down my tiny violin by any chance?
Wow. It's appropriate, though, to the circumstance.
You'll have to play
it. I'll play it, yeah.
All right. her fifth grade daughter looked at me all like Cindy Lou Who, all blinky, and she said, "What? Isn't there someone to let you in your apartment?" And I was like, no, Jamie, I live alone. And it, you could just see how the sort of the shock and horror in her eyes of just, oh, mommy, my life could not turn out like this. You have no husband, children, nothing. You...
Right. Well, to a certain
that little Jamie and I, our eyes met, and it was like, oh, it's she's about, like, mommy, please don't let my life turn out like the sad lady.
Let's remember, there are values in, you know, it's very valuable to have a negative role model as well for a young child.
Yes.
Straight as,
I'm sort of, I'm a cautionary tale.
Exactly.
In the household next door.
What was I
so
think?
Anything that, now she probably can get her to do stuff all the way through her teenage years.
Right,
unless
exactly.
You want to turn out like the sad lady that lives alone next door and gets locked out of her apartment by her dogs and has no one to let her in. Okay.
Oh, I'll study. God. I'll do my homework. I won't drink wine. I promise.
I can guarantee you that kid will never drink. No. Her whole life.
I won't have dogs that outweigh me. I'll be fine. I'm only going to have pocket dogs that I can fit in a small bag.
StephanieMiller.com is the website. HalSparks.com, are you video streaming in the L.A. studio?
I was unfortunately locked out of the studio waiting to get into the building. See, this is all clearly you're haunted.
Yeah.
Yes. But I'm getting rigged up. I'm starting my computer, and we'll be streaming in about 5 minutes.
You can email us all at the StephanieMiller.com like Eric in Ohio did. Steph, congratulations on your upcoming wedding to the fence that you spent the night straddling. You are
going
to marry it. You are going to marry it, right? Or are you just a slut who promises man-made barriers a lifetime and then leaves them for Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang?
She's a slut! Look at her slut!
Yeah, that was almost one of America's funniest vaginal mishaps, Hal. That was not a happy. I had to, well, because I straddled the one fence and then
I'm buying
those
that
neighbors...
URL right now as we speak. Because somebody's going to want it eventually. And I think it's you.
I had to do the one, because I straddled, I went to the one neighbor first and they weren't home, so I had to go back over that fence into my patio and then back over the other fence. So there's actually two fences I was sleazing around with.
Are we in euphemisms now? I don't understand what's being said.
Never mind.
All it seems to somehow make sense and yet be frightening.
Callie in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, has a question about teabagging. Steph, maybe you or one of the moocs or one of your guests could answer a question for me. When did teabagging come to mean something sordid and dirty? I'm not that old, but I remember a more innocent time when it merely meant dipping your in someone's mouth. Oh, Callie, I think...
See what she did there? I heard the term in college.
I heard it when the tea party started. I never heard that.
You're a little Catholic schoolgirl. You did not.
You
hear
had
it.
To explain that to me and snorkeling. I was like, what?
Oh, and tossing salad too.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
And the other one.
Oddly enough, rusty trombone. Oh. She knew. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, the Sanchez one had to explain that to you.
How just bullet trains right past that. Just Steph is like, oh, yeah, that I got. But what? Teabagging?
Okay.
How does that make sense? Oh, it kind of looks... Oh, okay, I get it. But no string. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the kids today, they're naming things that you go on the Internet and you go, oh, well, yes, that. I've done that. I just didn't know what it was called.
Sure,
you know.
Sure. That's my argument. In this, you know, in this, the 70s, people did things that we can only download.
Yes, exactly.
So.
All right, we have a big show coming up. Representative Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa coming up this hour. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America, co-hosts Right Wing World next hour. And Representative Kathy Dell-Kemper?
Dell-Kemper.
This is her first time, I believe.
It is.
Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania in hour number three. So lots of stuff.
Oh, and...
Marco!
Rubio.
He seems to be having little IRS trouble. Oh, dear, as the Tea Party implodes. You know, because Charlie Crist, Chris, I think it's finally dawning on him that the Republicans don't like, you know, people like him. Moderates.
Okay.
I meant moderates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The mind reels at what you could have meant.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Overly tan people?
Yes.
Exceedingly neat and tidy people?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
This is what I meant. All right. In the meantime.
The other half of the Odd Couple, right?
Yeah.
Yes. In the meantime, good news. Julie in Seattle with breaking news on the financial reform stuff.
Yeah.
Mama, Esmeralda, you know, Senator Ghostly. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Susan Collins.
I forget her real name.
Senator Susan Collins of Maine.
Yes. Mama, Esmeralda won't be getting her chance to whittle the financial reform bill down to a tiny little nothing nubbin nugget with her wand that magically disappears the substance of any reform initiative. Geithner apparently sat through one meeting with her and told her to cheese off. I say, let's...
cheese off?
Kids today.
I say, let these GOP senators filibuster financial reform like the power-obsessed demagogues, clowns, and idea-free asshats that they are. The White House, Reid, et cetera, appears to me to be uninterested in playing footsie with Collins or anyone else. They're going to bring it to the floor and dare them to vote against it. Yes, yes, yes. Ha ha. Our people totally learned the lessons of the health care fight, and I'm a happy, clappy liberal today watching them go, the Whigs, GOP go the sorry way of the Whigs. Julie in Seattle with a little update on the... Yeah,
right on.
I think that's true, right? Today or, is it today or tomorrow, Chris, they're going to the floor?
I think it might be today.
Well, we will find out one of our many Congress critters that we have lined up today. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, we have a lot of stuff to get to. Hal will be setting up his little, whatever they are, Hal cams.
Thank you.
So that you can see.
My little thingy, my Dodgers. Yes, I like the derogatory terms for all my things that I work very hard on. That's very
sweet.
So
you can see the man.
I'm fine.
You can see the man meet in the L.A. studio. I will be here with my usually Greta Garbo aura of mystery here in the New York studio.
Oh, we may train a camera on you. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah.
Covered in volcanic ash.
That's happening.
As we continue.
That's
17 minutes after the hour. We continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, watch the move. Just watch the move.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks. He live in the L.A. studio. Mama here in her ash-covered New York studio.
Right.
That, it really is the final disaster that has befallen me here in New York is fire, smoke, and
yeah.
Fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and dangerous chemicals probably coming from a fluorescent light.
Awesome.
Yeah, so don't breathe.
That's reassuring.
Well, listen, I'll breathe in maybe a little less pollen because we're also having a horrendous pollen season, which is causing me on sneezing fits most days.
And you moved there again because?
On a whim because Ed Schultz told me to.
Okay.
Who I'm going to dinner with Friday, so I'll have him explain to me again why I moved to New York. I'll be doing the Ed Show on MSNBC Friday night, by the by. Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang, which was this past Saturday. Here in New York, still getting rave reviews, still getting buzz.
I was impressed.
Did you go to Sardi's and read the reviews?
I understand it's a television network that's talking about airing it. They're in the process of editing and
been extended. It's an extended run.
Al and I were up all night at Sardi's waiting for the reviews, and they were fabulous.
You know what? I used to not take critics so seriously until they started complimenting me. Before I thought it was crap. And now I know that they are wise beyond their years because they have seen the wonder of Stephanie Miller. No question.
All right. We had a listener that was at the President Obama Barber Boxer thing in California,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of days ago and was telling us this about how, because you and I, happy clappy liberals, we, in fact, we had to push John Fugelsang off the Titanic piece of wood on health care because he was... Not yes. happy that we didn't get the public option.
Whatever.
And I understand people's impatience on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But,
yes.
You know, the president basically is saying, why are you hollering at me and Barbara Boxer who are for this?
Who actually are making the only effort to repeal it that's actually happened in the last 15 years.
Yes. The president.
Fear and financial insecurity into too many people's lives. I'm sorry, do you want to come up here? All right. Because, can I just say, once again, Barbara and I are supportive of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so I don't know why you're hollering.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He said, it would make sense to holler at the people who are actually opposing.
She's passionate about fighting for California's families. We are going to do that. Yeah. Hey, hold on a second.
Yeah.
We are going to do that. So, let's, what the young man was talking about was we need to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which I agree with, and which we have begun to do.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and he said, by the way, Barbara Boxer didn't vote for it in the first place.
Right.
So she certainly is for repealing it. So, you know, obviously the White House's position, Hal, has always been that, you know, this has to be overturned by an act of Congress.
Right.
Otherwise, the next president can just undo it. Mm-hmm. So their position is they're trying to do it the right way. I understand people's impatience. I can't believe we're even still friggin' debating this
well,
in 2010. I mean, Annie, go ahead.
I think, you know, the gay community has seen... the White House move a little slow on gay issues, a lot slower on gay issues than they have on other issues.
But I also think they've, you know, there was a report came out, and I tweeted this on, you know, my account. There was actually an article about how when Obama first came into office, he met with HRC. Mm-hmm. And HRC gave him a list of almost, I think it was something like 17 or 20 things he could do immediately mm-hmm. without an act of Congress. They'd have to be sort of implemented over time. They would be almost politically bulletproof because you could do them without much fanfare.
Right.
And they have been doing them like clockwork at the exact same time they've been pushing through the stuff that actually does take legislative shifts. And so, believe me, I made the argument that you can't force somebody to be patient when they're being held underwater. And I can understand how gay people would feel that way, especially after the Bush years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, no, and that's exactly it, Hal. I think that, I mean, look, if you look at, like, look how long health care took, and you've got to, I mean, to me, you've got to cut the White House some slack, is look at this solid wall of obstruction.
Right.
That we've had, and now here we go with financial reform, and there's so much stuff. I think, you know, they're getting frustrated with the schedule of you know, Congress, which is obviously backlogged, and so I understand both sides of it, but I just think that, you know, Hal, you're right. We got to remember these are the good guys. Like, you know, you remember the if we put Republicans back in, like, look at right now. Have you seen this? One of the judicial nominees. You've seen this, Chris.
Sure.
DeMint has been blocking her forever, and you know why? Because she's a
allegedly.
She's openly gay.
Oh, this is the real lesbian.
That's the difference.
Okay.
Yes.
She's too legit to quit.
The legit lesbian.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Yes. I mean, this is, you know, imagine what this would be like with a Republican president and a Republican Congress. So,
it wouldn't even be an issue because it wouldn't come up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it is that, you know, we're arguing against things that wouldn't even happen, wouldn't even be allowed to be challenged. Under Republican administration.
Right. Harry Reid is keeping the chamber in session, he says, around the clock until there are votes on five of President Obama's long-stalled nominees. One of the nominees is Marissa DeMeo is her name. Yes. I know it! I know! She's apparently two L words they don't like, that she's worked on Latino issues as well.
Oh, my God! She's empathetic to minorities and what their plight might actually be.
She's nominated to be a judge on the D.C. Superior Court, even though judges for this court are usually easily approved. She has faced the longest delay of any judicial nominee. And, you know, of course they're going, oh, it's not that. It's like, yes, it is. It's that. Jim DeMint is behind the delay. Conservative objections to DeMeo seem to be based on her strong legal advocacy work on Hispanic and LGBT issues. Mm. An openly gay woman, she has been a member of the Human Rights Campaign and the co-president of Gay Law.
Oh, my God. There's no worse kind of law than gay law.
There's right in the title of it. The Traditional Values Coalition shockingly opposes her. They sent a letter to a group of senators which says DeMeo is an open radical lesbian who supports marriage equality.
Well, to them, any lesbian is radical.
All right.
Yes.
I would go so far as to say any woman is radical.
Well.
Let's not forget that a lot of what their problem with the gay community is their attack sort of on femininity, the idea that they're literally panicked by the idea that
they say she would be in
a horrible thing. Like,
they write that she would be in a key position to undermine our national security and destroy traditional marriage.
And I thought that was my job.
I have
no
idea what she has to do with national security, but whatever. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Bruce Braley next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I like your look.
Excuse me?
I like the whole hippie thing. It really works for you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. I use Carbonite, as you know, to back up my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. Go to Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. There was fire in my studio yesterday, Chris.
There was. What if your computer had burned up?
All of my stuff is safe because I have it on Carbonite. See,
I
now
I've
moved it over to this computer in this studio. Ha ha. All right. We have lots to get to. Lots of happenings in Congress this week. Representative Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Happy springtime to you.
Yes. Well, I could do with a little less pollen if there's anything Congress can do about that.
That's a little outside of our jurisdiction, I'm afraid.
Thank you, anyway. Congressman, is the financial reform coming to the House today or tomorrow? What's happening?
Well, you know, it's like most things. We're waiting for the Senate to do something, and we don't really know when that's going to happen. I saw Senator Dodd on the news clips expressing frustration with the lack of bipartisan cooperation. There's a big shock. So we're just in a holding pattern waiting for something to happen like we are on so many of the bills that we have already taken action on here in the House.
Yeah, I have suggested to many congresspeople if there's a chance you could dissolve the Senate, I think things would go much much quicker. But I apparently
that's... You want to go with the Nebraska model?
Well, you know, maybe you can explain this to us lay people. So, you know, even Senator Corker, the Republican, he co-sponsored this. This is one of the resolution fund is one of the things they're arguing over, right?
Right.
And, you know, even he is going on record saying this is anything but a bailout. The fund is meant to do the opposite. And once again, he's a Republican who it's a Republican idea as well. And this is apparently why they're holding it up, right?
Yes, and I don't understand after the trauma we've been through in the last 18 months that anybody would not be wanting to come to the table and work to try to solve the continuing serious problems we have with overseeing our financial sector of the economy.
Right.
I just don't get it.
Well, Bob Corker, the Republican, said this fund that's been set up is anything but a bailout. It's set up to, in essence, provide upfront funding by the industry so that when these companies are seized, there's money available to make payroll and to wind it down while the pieces
exactly.
are being sold off. What is the problem with that? I know that even Steny Hoyer is saying, well, it's not critical. But why would we cave on that?
I have no idea. You know, it's one of those continuing dilemmas of being able to do what's possible or being able to do what's in the best interest of the country. And, you know, we are just sitting here right now waiting for the shoe to drop over there to see what we're left with before we come back and try to, you know, put together the best and most the strongest bill we can to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Well, and Congressman Braley, I feel like I'm having an acid flashback on health care. I mean, Mitch McConnell, you know, has basically said the same thing he said. He said he remains opposed to it, even if they cave on this fund. Then, you know, he's saying the same thing. Oh, we have to go back to the drawing board. We got to start over, which is what we heard for a year on health care, right?
Yeah, and we did. And the thing that's so hypocritical about those statements is people kept talking about we need to slow down on health care. The health care bill was the single most transparent bill in terms of how it was put together, how it was voted upon, probably in the history of any piece of legislation in this country. And this financial reform package has been working its way slowly through the Senate for so long, I don't understand how anybody could say we need to start over. What we need is we need Republicans who want to do something meaningful to protect American consumers from the same type of problems to come to the table and say we want to be part of the solution rather than a continuing part of the problem.
That's right. Well, I mean, sometimes your head spins. John Cornyn, I think, said that the president demeaned the presidency by mentioning that Mitch McConnell and other Republican leaders have been meeting with all these Wall Street bigwigs before they've announced that they're against this. How is that politicizing, stating the obvious and going, the American people have a right to know, what did you discuss? What, you know, why are you suddenly against financial?
That's a rhetorical question, isn't it, Stephanie?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Well, so what, you know, let's talk about what else is coming up. I mean, jobs obviously is, you know, top on everybody's mind. What is happening on that front?
Well, this this week, the Populist Caucus, which I chaired, joined with the Progressive Caucus and the Trade Working Group to announce our American Jobs First platform. And with the administration talking about its intention to engage in the Asia-Pacific Trade Agreement conversation, it's a perfect time to talk about what we can really do to promote jobs that are going to be long-term jobs that are going to help American workers and change the way we deal with the huge trade deficit that we have and also protect the environment and a host of other things. So this trade platform, this Jobs First platform, includes promotion of the Trade Act, which would require a comprehensive GAO review of all existing major trade agreements and spell out what needs to be included in those agreements, including core labor standards, standards on the environment, food and product safety, agriculture, human rights, currency manipulation, national security, and also what must not be included in those trade agreements, including things like Buy America bans or anti-sweatshop rules. And that would also require that the president submit these renegotiation plans before congressional consideration of additional agreements. The other thing that would be part of our package is the End the Trade Deficit Act, which would establish an emergency commission to end the trade deficit and to develop a preliminary plan to eliminate it within the next 10 years. It would also have a national manufacturing strategy, which is core to any country that wants to be a world leader, and that would require us to develop a national manufacturing strategy and increase employment and global competitiveness in our manufacturing sector. And then finally, the last piece of that is a Foreign Manufacturers Legal Accountability Act, because we see over and over again that foreign corporations hide behind the difficult challenge of holding them accountable for the acts they commit in the United States. And we're seeing this with the Chinese drywall problem. We're seeing it with some of the problems in getting access to information in the Toyota recall. And so all four of these pieces are designed to try to promote a jobs first program that emphasizes American jobs.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm curious. There's a lot of talk in the media about the midterms. You know, some people predicting, oh, this Tea Party momentum and there's going to be a Republican tsunami. Today, the Democrats posted more than a $21 million in the bank advantage over the Republican, your Republican counterparts. How concerned are you about the midterms?
Well, you have to be concerned about the midterms, because one of the things we know is that the polling shows that independent voters, who make up 40% of my district, are increasingly dissatisfied with the direction of the country. So that's a problem that we all have to be aware of, and I think it affects Democrats and Republicans alike if you're an incumbent. So one of the things you have to do is you have to be out in your district speaking to your constituents across the spectrum on what you're doing to improve their lives. And I have no problem taking the achievements that we have accomplished here in the 111th Congress and talking about that back home. But the other thing is, we have to be confident in what we believe in and why we believe in it, and engage in straight talk with the American people about what we've done for them and what we plan to do going forward. And that was the big, you know, the big sham about a lot of the pushback, is every one of us ran on a platform of addressing health care reform, energy, and the the climate change issue. So why would voters be shocked that we tried to take positive action to address those concerns?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, the climate out there, to me, you know, is getting kind of, well, not getting, has been ugly, but it's interesting. You know, President Clinton brought this up the other day on the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, that, you know, a lot of this rhetoric, and it's not just rhetoric, Congressman. I mean, there have been real acts of this, you know, anti-government, you know, in some many cases, extreme right-wing violence. I mean, actual acts of it. And you know, so of course, the right-wing reacted predictably by saying, oh, Clinton's trying to muzzle dissent, and which is exactly the opposite of what he said.
No, there's a fine line between political speech and promoting acts of violence, and we've all seen examples where people fan the flames and move people who have a predisposition dangerously close to that, and that was nowhere more apparent than during the final days around the health care vote, when many of us received threatening phone calls here at our offices in D.C. and back in the district. And you know, it reminds me of an event that happened during the health care forums I held last year when a constituent stood up at a town hall meeting and said, what we need is another French Revolution complete with guillotines and blood running in the streets.
Wow.
And I looked at him and I said, sir, you're wrong, because what separates us from other countries is we don't resort to violence to settle our political disagreements. And well, fortunately, I got loud applause from the audience when I said that.
Right. Well, Congressman, I mean, the problem I keep pointing out is that it's not just, I mean, of course, there's lunatic fringe in every party, but it's not, you know, bloggers or something. It is Sarah Palin. It is Michelle Bachmann. Why is it necessary to use rhetoric like, I want you armed and dangerous, or put crosshairs on your website on Democratic congresspeople they want to vote it out, or, you know, say we need to reload? Why is it, I mean, clearly they are ginning up their crazy base, aren't they?
Yes, and you can't say we disavow any acts of violence when you're punching a picture of Nancy Pelosi in the face.
Yeah, exactly. Congressman Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for checking in.
Likewise, great to be on the show.
All right, thank you. All right, there he goes, Representative Bruce Braley.
He's awesome.
Who thanks me for checking in on my own show.
Hey.
Which I thought was very nice.
Well, checking in with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's a representative, and actually he's got boots on the ground. He's working to make America better.
Exactly. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, back with more of us talking and Hal preening as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Kids can relate to this show. These guys aren't phonies.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. 52 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America coming up to co-host Right Wing World. We are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal.
We thought we weren't going to have Carl Frisch because he went to jury duty yesterday. And so if he would have been chosen, we wouldn't have had Carl Frisch.
Wow.
How did he get out of it? Did he say, oh, I can tell just by looking at someone, they look immigrant-y. I'm all for that law in Arizona.
Right.
Oh, you're dismissed? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got my, hey, you didn't show up for your jury duty thing. You're in trouble. And I'm like, A, you dismiss me immediately because I'm known. It always happens.
No, not necessarily.
Well, yeah, and known for what I'm known for
is
the important thing. Like, I'm on here.
Yeah.
And that
being kind of a man whore? Oh, not that. I'm sorry.
Oh, Stephanie Louise Miller.
I'm kidding.
These are criminal cases, not
bitter.
Civil.
I'm his bitter ex. Caroline in Akron, you're on the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
I didn't lock you out.
Hi. I was calling because I'm really worried about that immigration bill. Sorry, that was my vowel. I have a sister and brother-in-law who live in Colorado. My brother-in-law is Hispanic. He's been here for like 40 years. Mm-hmm. But my niece, their daughter, goes to Arizona State.
Right.
And they visit her quite often. And I was talking to my sister last night, and I said, well, the next time you guys go to visit your daughter, you know, he better bring his papers with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
right.
I mean, it's so scary to think that in this country you can be, you know, your papers, please, like it's, you know.
Yes, it's springtime for,
right. And then these people that say, oh, Obama's a socialist. Hello, what is that going on out there? If that isn't socialism, I don't know what is.
Well,
Obama doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
Case people don't know what this is, under the proposed Arizona law, now headed to the Republican governor's desk, police must stop people on, quote, reasonable suspicion that they might be undocumented immigrants. If they're not carrying a valid driver's license or ID, police can make an arrest, and they can be detained.
That's what's scary, too, that they can keep you until they decide, okay, your papers are fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It really is. It's springtime for somebody. Who's the guy behind that one?
They passed that birther thing about that the governor or somebody can decide, we accept your birth certificate and everything, and you can be on our ballot. Or they can say, no, sorry, we don't accept that, and you can't be on our ballot.
Which is stupid because actually states can't determine what happens at federal elections anyways. It's a Fung P law. It just makes no – there's nothing to it.
Yeah. All right, Caroline, thanks for that. Yeah, the by the way, here he is, the guy, Chris.
Oh. It's a little bit loud. I can play it from over here.
Okay, thank you.
There we go.
The Arizona Bill's primary author is State Senator Russell Pierce.
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
Springtime for Russell Pierce, yes, in Arizona.
He's a longtime anti-immigration advocate who once praised a 1950s deportation program known as Operation, yep, Wetback. Is that nicely
Why?
Named? Operation Wetback. He Neat. Was a big fan of that. Hispanic lawmakers want President Obama to intervene if Arizona Governor Jan Brewer does not veto the sweeping illegal immigration bill that would require that. So we'll see
and
what all.
Jan Brewer is a complete right wing hack.
Right.
And I knew it would be trouble when President Obama took Janet Napolitano out of Arizona and she had to be replaced by Jan Brewer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's causing so many problems in that state.
By the way, here's an entertaining edition of Republicans eating their own on this one. The Minutemen, they're just not buying the John McCain switcheroo. John McCain's all for this law now. You remember him, Hal, from the, what was it called? Oh, the McCain-Kennedy Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill.
Right. He's kind of got, like, a memento kind of political platform. Like, he has no idea what just happened 20 minutes ago.
Right.
Yes.
So every few minutes, like, I have this condition. What was that for?
What?
Who was
a maverick? Not me. What? I put my name on what bill? So when Citizens United came down, yes, but the McCain-Feingold... No, it's fine. A co-founder of the anti-immigration Minutemen on Monday dismissed John McCain's new tough immigration stance as shameful election year politics. He's, of course, is supporting this Arizona law now. Chris Simcox, he's one of the co-founders. He said for almost three decades, McCain had the office and the opportunity to help close the borders to illegal aliens, and he did nothing. It seems that with a tough election on his hands, McCain is trying to hoodwink the voters. So that's the thing. That kind of shameless flip-flopping, Chris, it endears you to no one.
Nope.
Yeah.
You know, the racists aren't buying it on the right either. You know, it's just a...
Well, that's because you can say what you will about them, but they are awfully principled people. They have awful principles,
yes,
but they stick to them.
Judy in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
To comment on, you know, I'm Jewish, and this whole thing in Arizona is sounding like the Nazis are coming to me.
Yes. That's what I said. I'm like... Pardon me?
Huh? I said I find it frightening.
Yeah, no, I don't... That's the thing. It's just... I mean, look at when, you know, whenever we've had one of these, you know, a terrorist attack, and the right wing says stuff like, oh, well, you know, I'm all for racial profile. Like, all of these terrorists look completely different that they caught in the last, however, and yet they still seem to be all for racial profiling. It's... anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. I'm forgetting who...
You're verklempt.
No, I'm forgetting, you know, exactly all the latest, whatever, terrorists. Hal, this is a breaking news story for you. This could be you, because you are so in love with that slut, that new iPad.
Oh, yes.
You love more than anything in
the
world.
Which is on camera right now.
In Denver, a man is missing his new iPad and part of his pinky finger after a robbery. He was trying to hold on to that iPad so hard that they... That is awful. He just purchased the iPad, and a guy tried to grab the bag out of his hand.
Yeah.
And he was holding on to it. The guy got the bag and part of his finger because he didn't want to let go of his... He didn't want to let go of his iPad.
Is he a zombie? How does he come apart that easily? Like, the thing is slippery. I have it in a case.
58 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it. GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Everybody. All right. Now my box is too low, Sean. I'm in a different studio here in New York because my old one exploded yesterday for some reason. Smoke and flames and volcanic ash.
Like that was a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, Jim. All right.
Were you swinging from the light fixtures again?
Yeah.
Kind of pole dance?
Apparently somebody was pole dancing in my studio, Hal. And
it wasn't me. I was just watching.
All right. All right. So lots of stuff to get to. Our good buddy, our good pal, Carl Frisch is here.
Yay.
For Right Wing World. Yeah.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. For Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me. Frisch.
Good morning, Carl.
Exciting. Oh, sorry. Hey, how are you?
You were pole dancing to your jingle, I can tell.
I was. It's exercise.
Yes.
Exactly.
Just don't jingle dance to your pole. I don't recommend
No, that's...
I beg your pardon, sir.
I can't figure out what the tassels do, though, for the...
I'll forward you the email.
All right. Carl, let's dive into the Right Wing World, see what's doing, shall we? Glenn Beck on the Fox News, on the outsized influence of Fox News and the teabaggers.
Imagine the president had no roadblocks. Nothing stood in his way. He could pass whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
The only thing slowing him down are the peaceful assemblies of the Tea Party and at least this building in the press. It's pretty amazing. You... and one building full of journalists. That's it. And look at the difference you've made.
Was that the devil speaking from the inside of his soul? That suddenly...
Okay, come on. That was funny. The building full of journalists. That was good.
Bad Fox. Bad building.
If they're peaceful, why do they have guns?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that Glenn Beck and all the purported opinion shows love to clump themselves in with the purported news programming of Fox News. It's ridiculous.
I think that's just to start more of a fight at Fox News, because apparently there's that big rift, and it agitates the people in the newsroom going, quit that! Quit it!
I don't know how more zero-tolerance policies and yanking people from Tea Party conventions they can do until the folks in primetime have absolutely nothing to do with their time.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, by the way, speaking of all these, the teabagger stories and, it's, this huge momentum, you saw what's happening in Florida, right? Marco!
Yes. Rubio!
Oh, dear. That could change the dynamics of one of the big races this year. Federal investigators have begun several probes into spending and tax records at the Florida Republican Party, including an investigation into the finances of Marco Rubio. But that could also get Chris, too, right, Carl?
Yeah, apparently they all had accounts with the same with the party. It's one of those things that that Charlie Crist brought up in a bizarre interview where he accused Rubio of using the party credit card for back waxing. It was just very bizarre.
Yes.
But this is also, about the time that we should be finding out if Charlie Crist will in fact change his mind and run as an independent. So. That race couldn't be more strange.
Right, but I mean, they're saying there's another state probe underway, so, I mean, that could also involve Chris, so, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in this race, right? I mean, what if it takes Chris and Rubio out?
We did have Susan Page from USA Today on Hardball the other night saying that one of the reasons that Kendrick Meek, the Democratic candidate in Florida, is a weak candidate is because he's African American. And it's hard to win statewide when you're African-American in Florida, like Barack Obama did in their last statewide.
Yes, that's what? All right. Rush Limbaugh on the teabaggers.
The Democrat Party from Obama on down has got a campaign to demonize the Tea Party people. And now here's Barbara Boxer, who wants her supporters to emulate them. I thought they were causing riots. I thought the Tea Party people were about to blow up a building. Didn't Bill Clinton tell us this on Friday?
No.
He sounded kind of ragged.
A little hysterical.
Like he's coming down off a bender, maybe.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There's a slight difference between saying that this is what they're doing and Clinton saying it reminds him of the time leading up to the Oklahoma City bombing, with all the militias and the gun nuts and everybody talking about tyranny, which I think it's hard to disagree with. It is true, and for Rush to think that liberals or the mainstream press have to dig very hard to make these people out to be nutballs. Yeah. That's just absurd. I mean, you can do it with your eyes closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well,
or
I mean,
barely open because the signs are easy to read.
They, well, you can do it heavily medicated.
Yes, they're giant words misspelled. Like they. It's so easy.
He's just a maroon.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it was so predictable, wasn't it, Carl, the right-wing media's reaction to Clinton's comments? He went out of his way to say we should have dissent. We're not talking about muddling dissent, but they're clearly crossing the line into dangerous rhetoric that has ended in real violence in several instances in the last year or so.
We shouldn't be surprised, though. I mean, remember when the Bush administration commissioned report came out during the early days of the Obama administration saying that you should be watching out for radical right-wing extremism that could be violent? It had nothing to do with, you know, mainstream conservatism or conservative activism, but it was telling at the time that so many right-wingers and the folks at Fox and talk radio claimed that this was an attack on them, that they would lump themselves in with crazy militia nuts and people that would ever, you know, cause violence was telling. And this is the same kind of a response.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, Hannity, the president.
There seems to be a coordinated effort to intimidate, silence, and demonize any critic of this administration, this House of Representatives, this leadership.
Really?
No.
Actually, there isn't.
I love this victimhood that they play.
Yeah.
You know, there seems to be an effort. Okay, show me where. to silence. Okay, I'm not. All I do is hear from these people, especially on Fox News. Any critic of the administration? No, we've heard plenty from critics of this administration.
They have a 24-hour news station.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, arguably, you would have to lump in Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann in with that at times because they legitimately criticize movements by this administration. And they're not silenced. They get guests from the administration to come on and address it.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
It's just absurd. It's just more of Hannity building this bubble around himself through which no logic can pass.
Some people say it seems that what I'm saying makes sense.
Fred Barnes on the Britt Baer Show on financial reform.
Well, Democrats don't have a winning hand either, though. I mean, they came up with a bill that didn't do the fundamental thing that the American people want. American people want one thing. And that is to have banks that are not too big to fail, which, because if they fail, then there would be more bailouts in Washington. You have to strip the bailout stuff out of the bill. That's the only thing the public really cares about. I think there are other bad things in the bill, too, but the public cares about that.
And by the bailout stuff, he means the stuff that is designed to prevent bailouts.
Right.
That is to wind companies down.
That makes the banks pay for it themselves.
Yes.
You know, the argument that they're using against financial reform, I'm surprised when we were complaining about all the tax cuts to the wealthy that they didn't actually just turn around and start calling them tax cuts for the poor.
People.
Yeah, I was just watching a rerun of the Bizarro Seinfeld episode, and that's what, like, Frank Luntz must live in that episode, because that's the kind of rhetoric that we're getting from these poll-tested. You know, they found out that the only way to defeat this thing was to lie, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, Frank Luntz, somebody that works in his office should know better than to make sure everyone can see the friggin' memo. Isn't it supposed to be secret? Don't, you know? You know, it literally gets out that it says just lie. It's like, no, you're not supposed to see that part.
It's like the American war aggression against Imperial Japan, where we rammed our boats into their kamikazes. How dare you, sir?
O'Reilly on the president.
President Obama, being a little bit soft on terrorism, no waterboarding, no Gitmo, this, that, and the other thing, would make it easier for the terrorists, perhaps, to attack the United States. So I did exactly what Bill Clinton's doing on the other side. Now, I sincerely believe that if you dismantle the Bush-Cheney anti-terror policies, it is going to be easier for them to attack.
So if he's doing exactly what Bill Clinton did from the other side, then he's reckless and irresponsible, just like Hannity was saying. But you know, the problem is that we've been told by military leaders that served under Bush that those policies didn't work, and if anything, they helped recruit more terrorists.
Yeah, right, right.
So if that's what Bill O'Reilly wants, more power to him. But we've been watching these nut jobs like O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh for years now, and they've been saying that when the next terrorist attack happens, it will be because of Democrats and progressives. This is something they've been gearing up for a long time.
Yep. O'Reilly and Mary Catherine Hamm on Bill Clinton's comments.
Address my criticism, Mary Catherine,
right,
to Bill Clinton's about a possible terror attack.
Well, I think that certainly the chances of an Al-Qaeda or a radical Islamist attack are more present, I think, than a domestic militant threat. And I think it's fine to keep an eye on that kind of thing. I just think that he is part of a process where they're trying to freeze speech in some ways, to chill free speech.
They want to diminish the Tea Party influence.
If you keep talking,
okay,
right.
Yeah, this is the same thing they used with the hate crime legislation that was coming up, where they were going that it's going to chill free speech. That if let's say I am a racist person who rants in a blog, and then I finally get tired of waiting around and I bash in some random black person's head, then they can go back to the blog and go, oh, this guy is more of a threat because, quite frankly, this is all about all kinds of black people, not just one, and that he's more of a threat, and that makes sense. And they're turning that into, they're going to come for anybody who says anything they don't like. It's the leap is incredible.
Well, I love that they must think that all liberals like practice witchcraft or something, because assume that we can read their thoughts and their motivation so clearly. If all of their thoughts are motivated,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. I was drinking my chicken blood. What were you saying?
If all of their thoughts are motivated by this extreme hatred that could lead to violence, which is what they seem to say whenever they talk about people shutting down their free speech, then we better be on the lookout, and everybody better move to a major metropolitan city that's full of liberals, because that may be the only place we're safe. I hate to come down too hard on Mary Catherine Hamm, because I'm friends with her boyfriend, who's a good liberal.
Really?
But that was just ridiculous.
That is so D.C. and New York, by the way. I don't get that
at
all.
Do you tell him frequently that his girlfriend is ridiculous?
I do, but you know, the crazy part of it is hearing anybody complain about how their free speech is being chilled on a major cable station.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, let me just say, after the commercial break, let me talk some more about that. All right, Carl Frisch for Media Matters for America. Love you, mean it. See you next week.
Thank you. Have a good week.
You too. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour, in the midst of a Hump Days with Hal. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Porfiro in El Paso, Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, hi Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good, I need some advice. I think I'm just totally screwed. I'm on my way to Phoenix for a business meeting, and I guess I got to prepare for papers, and I'm not sure exactly what kind of papers I need. There's a couple of issues I have. Number one, I'm a very dark Latino male.
Mm. I was going to say, you know, because you sound American, but your name's all immigrant-y. So
yeah.
I would think that might be enough.
That's my first challenge.
Yep.
And then the second thing is I had a conservative friend who told me, well, you're a veteran. Just make sure you have your veteran's card with you. So I went to shuffle through my DD-214. I pulled it out, went to the VA hospital, and sure enough, I can't get my VA card because I make too much money.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so there goes that.
Because you're too much of a capitalist.
That's my own passport that I traveled with my wife, who is from Guam, and it's only stamped Guam. And I've had gastric bypass, so I've lost probably 100 pounds, and I don't look like the picture I look in the passport.
Going in the hole. You're going in the hole, my friend.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You need a regular American name like Tancredo.
Scott in Bellingham, Washington, on the Arizona Law. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Mama. I want to give a shout-out to my boy in Long Beach. He's finally out, Cracker. He's out of ICU because you migrated to New York. What? And he described you to me as blow Cheerio milk out your nose funny, and I've been a fan ever since.
That is a term of endearment.
That is sexy.
What they're pulling down there is exactly how marijuana became illegal in this country. It became illegal because they were trying to control the immigrant working population moving to this country. It was right around the Depression and right around, and it got caught up in the Prohibition thing. It had nothing to do with it being a drug. It's just that the immigrants used it, so they said, well, you can't use it here. Stay in Mexico.
Now they've ruined everybody's fun, and now we can't have nice things. Let's go to Bob in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bob.
Hello. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I've lived in Arizona damn near all my life. I just a couple of things I've seen come and go. Back in the 90s, the city of Chandler, Arizona, tried to do the same thing with the police. And they were investigated by the Justice Department. And then eventually the city of Chandler chose not to, to do this anymore. The other issue is Mexico and the United States have this agreement that you don't need a visa if you're within a certain mileage of the border.
Right.
That allows people from the U.S. to go to Mexico and shop, go to the beaches, whatever. And it allows people from Mexico to come up here and shop. Mm-hmm. And in Tucson, there are a lot of people from the South that shop. So now are we going to put cops at the
mall? I thought George Bush said that's the only thing that makes us American is shopping.
Get out there and shop.
Exactly. Well, or the terrorists win.
Credit cards.
And the funny thing is, we'd all like to think that it's our motivation as citizens who will drive our government representatives to stop nonsense like this. But the truth is, it'll probably be the corporations in Arizona that use a lot of under-the-table workers who eventually pull the strings on the politicians that they own in that state and make them stop it.
Yep. Snowy in Michigan, since we have our two resident conspiracy theorists, Hal and Jim, here. Snowy in Michigan has a question about the studio explosion, the mysterious explosion in Mama's regular New York studio yesterday. Yes, Snowy.
Yeah, you think that boss is going to kill you to collect the life insurance money? My bomb may have went off too soon.
Well, you know, I suspect the guy that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money and Hal Sparks, because I got a message from you, Chris, saying, oh, you know, we'll be able to handle the show tomorrow from here if you can't do it.
Yes.
I was having lunch
with the guy who's trying to kill you for the insurance
yesterday
at the very same time.
Oh, my God.
It was like George Bush and Hinckley.
Yeah, right.
The Reagan assassination.
All right, All About Eve. We'll be right back. we think the Stephanie Miller Show could be the Hal Sparks Show. Either way,
who
next
can
say?
Stephanie Miller.
The greatest source of energy known to womankind!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lori in Chicago on the Arizona Z-Call Law. Hello, Lori.
Good morning. Yes, I have some profiling that I'd like to see done as well, if they're going to do it in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
I would like to see any truck that's flying a Confederate flag pulled over, because I think in all likelihood the driver is drunk, and the ear cans are chewing about the car.
Just from personal experience in bars in the area? Right.
And there's an unregistered gun in the glove box.
I bet you're right.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's interesting that they do want that they are totally for checking people for like a permit to be of a certain race.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you want to check to see if they're legally carrying an AK-47
with two magazines full
of ammunition,
that's infringing on our rights.
That is not your right. That's the federal government overreaching.
It's your boy Bush who got rid of the Fourth Amendment, so you really can't complain about that.
Yeah.
Yes. Danielle in Fort Lauderdale thinks it is unconstitutional, the Arizona law. Hello, Danielle.
Well, Mama, I think it's awfully appropriate that you play dueling banjos to a redneck, but
you calling from the Redneck Riviera in Florida?
No, I do have a blog that's pretty much known as the Redneck Liberal.
Sweet.
Try and punch it up in there with some funny southern expressions. But I did a post yesterday with some help from the great and wonderful Shano on how the bill is unconstitutional. It basically states that the police have this right to, sorry, I'm nervous, but the police have the right to ask people for their ID based on reasonable suspicion, which according to Fourth Amendment, they should have probable cause to perform a search and seizure on somebody, and thus basically on that alone it's unconstitutional, not to mention the civil rights violation on how they're going to do this without profiling brown people.
It's like, what, that's a probable cause? You look immigrant-y to me.
Yeah, skin color is now a probable cause. Yeah, we had problems with that in Los Angeles a while back with profiling by the police, and that was found illegal, and the feds moved in, and never mind.
Buddy in Columbus sends me a, when will the Republican asshats apologize? Steph, when will Bobby Jindal apologize and admit the volcano monitoring might just be important? Speaking of apologies, when will Senator Shelby and the rest of the asshats who tried to stop the GM bailout say, did you see this headline, GM? To pay off almost $6 billion bailout loans early. And they are, another promising milestone for the post-bankruptcy GM, which last month reported better-than-expected earnings for the quarter of 2009. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I tell you, that Kenyan communist Marxist socialist has gone too far. Let's be honest. You know what he's done? He's gone and interdicted our government and helped save one of the largest capitalist enterprises in the world. I mean, is there no stopping this man?
And what did he always say, buddy? He said, I don't want to own car companies, you know? And so this is working exactly the way he intended, right?
Yeah, well, there was two things here. Number one, as soon as before he even got in, he hired, like, really smart people and said, we got to save this, and they worked together and put a proposal, and then they got that going. And the second is, and the bigger kicker on the end is, there's a $50 billion that the federal government backed to save GM. That this summer, now that they declared a profit, they're going to pay us all that back and with interest, too.
Yep, absolutely.
Right.
Buddy,
it's
thank
going to
you
turn out
the...
that we've made money. Right. They were looking, the bank bailout fund that they wanted to establish that the banks had to pay into was based on the idea that after all is said and done, the bailout is going to cost the taxpayers less than $100 billion. After all this trillions of dollars talk, it'll actually cost us in real money.
How do you argue it would have been better to let them go under? Buddy, thank you for the SAT test, the Stephanie Aptitude Test.
Thanks, I got several of those questions.
Yeah, you have entirely too much free time. I love you.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Yes, I do. All right, Chris, where's my Jeopardy music? In fact,
right
we
here?
Should give this to Hal. Yeah, this is people entirely too much free time. It's Stephanie Aptitude Test.
Oh,
I'm not even sure if we can pass this.
Okay. We'll find out the hard way.
Listeners to the Stephanie Miller News Show can now test their knowledge on all things Steph. Test questions are short, answer, true, false, matching, sample question. All right, Hal, what city is linked Guy Lafleur and a bark park?
Linked Guy Lafleur
is linked in Stephanie Miller lore to Guy Lafleur and Bark Park?
Oh, South Park.
Sheboygan!
Sorry, that's not it.
That's incorrect.
Sheboygan.
Sheboygan. Oh, sure, Sheboygan. Of course. Yes. Sheboygan.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Geflagan.
Alex, it's right. I'll take penis mightier.
They're just words we like. There's no really rhyme or reason. Yes.
I thought it was Geflagan, because I think that's an actual town at the base of that.
Geflagan?
Geflagan. The Schnorrel. In the Bloing. Basically any town that's not that Don Martin Mad Max.
Park. Park. Sheboygan. All right, thank you. That is just a little symphony of stupid.
Sheboygan is actually Geflagan adjacent.
Right, exactly.
Oh, all right, Chris, this is a tough one. Are you ready? Chris LeBoy's parents are named What and What, and they listen to the music of What on their What?
Wow. Starting to get still multiple quotes.
I know my parents' names, but...
Chris LeBoy's parents are named Ken and Barbie. They listen to the music of Ray Conniff on their Philco Hi-Fi. Ladies and gentlemen,
That's not true.
That was just a reference you made
That
one
was a
day,
joke
randomly.
You made one time.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Jim Ward at one time lived with sexy star who? And do you think Jim tried to tap that? yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Daphne Zuniga. You once lived with Daphne Zuniga?
With several other people, yeah. Who's a house?
Yes.
Oh, in like a commune?
Well,
Jim, I don't actually know the answer to the question, did you try to tap that? Did you try to tap that?
Anarcho-syndicalist commune.
Commune.
No, sadly, no. I tried to tap another roommate, but that's another story.
Okay, for another day. When Miss Stephanie was a teen in upstate New York, she returned home with pizza dough in her hair, smelling a marinara sauce because she'd been visiting Tony Spumoni, Sal Scalapini, or Johnny Pontillo.
Pontillo! The Pontillo brothers!
Johnny Spumoni.
You gave it up for free pizza.
Oh.
Stephanie's home in California is called a compound, but it's not a compound.
It is.
You just say that's
with a bridal trail.
Separate. See, it's all misinformation you put out that has now become. If one were to visit her estate, what would you not find there? A bridal tower and a waterfall. Stephanie cooking in the kitchen, a central vacuum and a bidet.
Wow.
Stephanie cooking in the kitchen.
Yes. And a bridal trail. There is no bridal trail. And there is no.
What is the name of Chris's make-believe black
she's
friend?
Never been married.
What? Make-believe black friend?
Rodney is the official black friend. He exists. Rodney's real.
Yeah.
I've seen him.
Wow. That's amazing.
He's my best friend.
What city is home to lesbian bikers and Stephanie's namesake sister? Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The where they drink beer at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Who got beat
to get
with
the taste of beer out of their mouth.
Who got beat with a toy guitar because he had two hookers in his kid's playroom at 2 a.m.?
Gary
Skoyne! Gary Skoyne!
It's the exact sound the guitar made when it hit his head.
What language does Jim Ward speak besides English?
Oh, all of them.
Yeah, I guess.
German.
Yeah. German, French.
Is there more than that?
French?
Yeah.
See?
Pardon me.
Parle français comme vous, espagnol.
All right, just a couple more.
Okay.
What MSNBC personality has a restraining order against Stephanie Miller? Well,
that would be
all of them.
Keith Olbermann.
Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann, I guess, is the only one that actually...
Stephanie Miller.
What is Mitch McConnell's real name?
Stephanie Miller.
Mitch McChinless, we know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Despite his wild man lifestyle, what harmless activity does Chris LeBoy not do when he is naked? Pee in the shower. Find that? Because I do that, and you find it disgusting.
I don't. It's disgusting. Because of the steam of the shower, it aerosolizes, and you end up breathing it in, and I just find that gross.
That's why I take nothing but
get clean anyway.
It
all goes...
Pee.
Thank you for that Stephanie aptitude test, buddy.
Yes.
That was
Stephanie pees in the shower regularly.
I hope you don't crap in the sink.
Yeah, right.
I know, I do not.
Do
it
that
saves
if
water.
You guest,
it right. saves water. Can you all get clean it anyway? What's the?
Yeah, but right. the steam from the shower aerosolizes the urine.
Not. Yes, Steve in Kansas on the teabaggers.
Soap and shampoo and
there
you
is
know.
Something that is so cool. The Kenyan Embassy in Washington is sending out invitations to come to a real tea party. The invitation says, "Find out what a real tea party is like."
Oh, that's great!
And I didn't know tea was one of their major exports until I read this story.
That's fantastic.
But it's so cool that right hot on the heels of this major event last week, that the embassy is got a real cool sense of humor, and I think
that's
it's just
funny.
Hilarious.
That's funny. A Kenyan tea, but can't do that. All right, Jackie in Santa Cruz on the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, Barbara Boxer. Hello,
yeah.
Jackie.
Yeah, hi. Listen, you sound awfully happy. I think maybe you're going back to California, honey. I really do.
I don't know where I'm going.
Listen,
I'm a little lost child.
New York doesn't deserve you. Let New York go back home at your real home and let New York come to you. Okay?
Wait. Anyway, let's talk about the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, Barbara Boxer.
Yeah, okay. Barbara Boxer. This state is getting way too Republican for me. Let's not lose Barbara Boxer. She's one of the best things that ever happened to California. And
yeah,
California has had an awful lot of Republican governors. Think about it, people. We don't want this state to go Republican, so please think about
Barbara
Boxer.
Yeah, no, she really, I mean, it's not even partisan. She's just a really, really fine senator, in my opinion.
She's
you know,
one in a million, honey. I love your show.
Thank you, honey. All right, thank you. All right, let's go. She was very earnest.
Yes.
Bill in Bellevue, Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Arizona Zika Law. Hello, Bill.
Yes, Stephanie. I just wanted to call because you had a young woman on a few moments ago talking about that new law in Arizona and the fact that it would be unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment. She was wrong in her assessment while she was right in considering the Fourth Amendment. Fourth Amendment permits reasonable suspicion stops.
Mm-hmm.
It is not unconstitutional if there is a reasonable suspicion that a crime has been committed and that the person stopped is the person who committed the crime.
Yeah, but this is the definition of racial profiling. I mean,
not simply that. It's unlawful, not because of the Fourth Amendment, but because there would be no reasonable suspicion that anyone committed a crime if there are no standards to determine what reasonable suspicion is.
Hmm.
Reasonable suspicion would simply be whatever a police officer thinks it is,
right.
Which means that their judgments about that can't be reviewed, and it's therefore going to be unconstitutional. The
mm-hmm.
other thing is that, and this is the final thing I'll say, people should be very, very happy about what President Obama has done, particularly if you're progressive. Every
yeah.
single economic indicator is up.
Yeah.
Housing starts are up. Factory floor usage is up. Manufacturing
yep.
is up. The CPI index came out a few days ago, and it was only up one-tenth after being
yep.
flat the week before.
Yep. Thank God his socialism is so capitalistic, like you said, Jim. There's no other way to spin this. Like, for instance, can I just say something? If you could get, let's just say you could get arrested for sex crimes, Chris.
Yes.
I'm just saying, in my opinion, Hal Sparks and Jim Ward, they always look guilty. Like, they've just done something squeezy.
What?
And,
no. Their hair is slightly, their hair is slightly a kilter.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not him, it's me.
Yes. If you could pick someone up on reasonable suspicion, they always look. Exactly. Like they've just done something.
Well, especially Hal. What? He's out. Actually, Hal's out catting around right now. He left the studio.
He had a booty call.
He had a booty call to answer.
Yeah, somebody cute walked by.
Uh-huh.
Okay. See what I mean? See what I mean? You could just pick him up on reasonable suspicion just like that. 47 minutes after the hour. Ha! Like I have to tell you, it's hump days with Hal.
Mm-hmm.
On the Stephanie Miller.
Right now,
on the apparently. Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Who wants bread for breakfast? 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Was this on the record player when you were doing it with the Pontillo brothers?
I disavow any knowledge of the Pontillo incidents. Was I dry humping Tommy Nicholson? Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
I was. Big Fred in Asheville, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, y'all. You're just having too much fun.
I know it. Go ahead.
I thought I was having a good day until I realized I scored a 95% on your Stephanie Miller quiz.
I'm sorry. Yeah. All right, Fred. Time to go get a life, but thank you.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. Yeah, that's depressing. That's entirely too much free time. All right, so financial reform, we asked Bruce Braley, right, Chris, whether
mm-hmm.
it was supposed to hit the floor today, but as usual, the Senate is doing what they do best, and that's nothing.
Right.
Because of Republican asshat obstructionism.
Yeah.
By the way, John Cornyn said that the president has demeaned the presidency by issuing political attacks against Cornyn and Mitch McChinless for meeting with Wall Street executives.
But...
What? By mentioning what's true, that they met with Wall Street executives and then came out against financial reform, that's demeaning the presidency.
Yeah.
He said, I think it's clear the White House is politicizing this debate. Really?
Oh, come on. George Bush's existence over the past 8 years demeaned the
yes.
presidency.
Thank you. The president on the financial
reform. We've got a situation where people are allowed to take wild risks. And all the downsides are socialized, even as the profits are privatized. Then something's going to have to change.
Yeah, he went on to talk about the free market.
I believe in the free financial market. I believe it's essential that we have a strong financial market because that helps to boost dynamic economic growth. But a free market doesn't mean you should be free to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
However you can get it.
Yeah.
Without regard to consequences. There have to be some rules of the road. There's got to be some accountability. There's got to be some transparency.
We don't need no rules of the road. I'll stop when I darn well feel like it.
Yeah, when we had Ron Paul on last week, Jimmy said he told me he's a free market guy. I was like, yeah. Yeah. He's the, he means free, like, in the Wild West.
Right.
You know, in the,
Yeah, is he also a free roads guy? A free roads guy where you can drive as fast as you want, go through all kinds of stoplights and stuff?
Yes,
drive
yes.
Drive like Nicole Richie.
Right.
That's,
well,
yeah. Yes.
She's cleaned up her act, I think.
Mm. Mitch McChinless, I love this. He declared a win on financial reform, claiming a letter signed by the 41 Republicans last week to be obstructionist ass like they always are. It worked and brought senators back to the negotiating table.
The only thing that didn't work, it didn't find my upper lip.
No.
I still have no idea what happened to my upper lip.
Democrats dismissed this claim, saying talks with the Republicans never ended. Chris Dodd went so far as to say where the leader has been to think discussions have just now started. He said it never stopped. Listen to some people talk about taking credit. It's like the rooster taking credit for the morning. This has been ongoing for people following this. Welcome to the discussion. McConnell, though, is trying to frame his maneuvering as getting the bill back on track. Yeah. Good job,
wow.
McChinless. Yeah, thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Senator Mitch McChinless.
House the President criticized me in his weekly radio address, even as his deputies worked to strip the very provision I had called into question a few days before.
Why'd they do that?
Well, you can't have it both ways.
You can't have it one way. I'm not going to let you have it anyway. Not both ways, not no way, no how.
There's a great Photoshop fun in the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com of Mitch McConnell without a chin. It's very, very funny.
Did they have one with him as Yertle the Turtle?
No.
Someone sent me, seriously, like a whole series of photographs of him, and literally in each one, it's someone like Photoshopped it, but they didn't, where his lips are just disappearing more and more.
Oh, no.
In indignation.
Oh, my lips have fled in indignation to the point where I can't even say indignation.
He looks like a turtle. Someone should feed him some lettuce. Flip him on his back.
That's how we can get something done in the Senate. Flip Mitch McConnell on his back. His little legs will be flailing.
You know what? I think we need to get him to Lisa Rinna's plastic surgeon. So he can get some semblance of some years back.
Exactly. What's her name from the entity? Give him a call.
Barbara Hershey. She knows from plumped up lips.
Something. He said on CNN that Tim Geithner and former Labor Secretary Robert Reich agreed with him on this fund. What do you call it? Reich said, when Mitch McConnell has to misquote me to find evidence he's telling the truth, he's desperate. So they're talking about this one provision, which is to prevent bailouts. It's to wind companies down. So even after, by the way, the Obama administration signaled it would be willing to get rid of that provision, he remained opposed to the bill. It's just like health care. It's like, oh, we got to go back to the drawing board.
Clean sheet of paper. Go back to the drawing board, clean sheet of paper, start over.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Steny Hoyer said the $50 billion fund that would help liquidate failing financial reforms is not an essential part of the Wall Street overhaul bill. Once again, so Democrats willing to compromise on something, they're still not going to be for it.
Yeah.
I mean, when are we going to learn? Anyway, he said oversight to prevent future collapses of the system and the necessity of bailouts are the main goals of the bill. What is central to what we're doing is to put the referee back on the field that the Bush administration took off the field. He said, by the way, financial institutions should pay for winding down failed firms, not the taxpayer. So it's not a bailout of any kind, this
right.
provision. It's exactly the opposite. And I'm going to go to the Senate. I'm going to flip McConnell on his back.
Yeah.
That's it.
Give him a new perspective.
Feed him a piece of lettuce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get him a little
lettuce.
Put him back in his terrarium. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to hold an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. We have lots to get to. Representative Kathy Dahlkemper, who I believe is this our first time?
Yeah,
from
so.
Of the great state of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi. How are you, Stephanie? Great to
Good.
Be with you.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Glad to be here.
Good. Well, so what now? Try to update us on financial reform. I know we spoke to Congressman Braley, your colleague, earlier, and the holdup, as usual, is in the Senate, is it?
Well, you know, this is my first term in Congress, and I've really come to understand how things in the House, we're very busy here. We get a lot of work done, and then it goes over to the Senate and often gets held up in many different ways. And so it's very frustrating because we passed financial regulation here in December. So here we are getting towards the end of April and still waiting for the Senate to get their work done so that we can get this bill passed out of the House again and then move on to the President and get signed into law.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this all morning, Congresswoman, that it just, you know, it seems to me like we just keep seeing the same. It's like, you know, the background of the Flintstones, you would just be the same rock and tree over and over again. It just seems like we're hearing all the same things we did on health care, aren't we? I mean, literally, first of all, they're just telling complete lies about what this, you know, for instance, what the fund is. I mean, even Bob Corker, the Republican who co-wrote it, said this resolution fund is anything but a bailout, right?
It is anything but a bailout. And, you know, the taxpayers were on the hook for the bailout, and we want to make sure that never happens again. So, you know, it's so needed. I live in Erie, Pennsylvania. You know, I have northwestern Pennsylvania. People of fairly moderate incomes who were very much hurt by this financial debacle that we saw at the end of 2008 and then carried on to 2009 because of the greed on Wall Street. And so I kind of come back to that word greed because it really is greed that led us to where we are today. So what we've got to do is get the regulations in place so that we protect the farmers, the Main Street entrepreneur, the small manufacturing business, the individual who has their life savings in stocks and other financial assets. So, you know, this is something that's really important to my constituents and really to people all across this country that we get this done. We're already seeing some the same old habits going back to Wall Street. You know, we obviously have some information that came out last week about Goldman Sachs. And so it's so imperative that we get this done. And it is so frustrating sitting on the House side watching the Senate and knowing there's not much we can do about it but wait for them to, you know, get this right. Passed through the Senate and get it back to us so we can
get it. Yeah, funny you should mention Goldman Sachs. So I love this is what Republicans are spending their time doing. Representative Daryl Issa, Republican of California.
We will be looking into the question of why did the SEC file during the day and on the same day as a scathing IG report comes out that very much says the SEC is not doing their job, but rather going after exactly things like Goldman Sachs.
So the fact that Goldman Sachs was found guilty of fraud, I guess, is the Democrats' fault in some way?
Some way, I guess. It's always that spin that's put on there, you know. Let's get back to what this is really about. You know, let's get back to regulating these very complicated, you know, financial markets that, you know, even my first hearing down here, I'm on the Agriculture Committee, and my first hearing was on derivatives. Not many people understand derivatives. Mm-hmm. I still have a ways to go to completely understand them.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, boy, you draw the short end of the straw that day, didn't you?
Oh, my God. That was my first committee hearing in Congress, and I was a bit blown away by that. But, you know, I've learned a lot, but these are very, very complicated, and we've got to have the regulations in place because the average American out there, the average small business person trying to make a dollar every day, you know, run their business, they can't be well versed as many other people in all of these different types of financial situations. So they've got to have the confidence that Congress has put in place the regulations that will protect them when they're just trying to save some money for the future, be able to protect themselves, and be able to get a loan, for example. So we've got to make sure that these regulations are in place, and I just put out the word to the Senate that we want them to get their work done and get it back to us.
Well, and speaking of which, Harry Reid yesterday was saying, you know, they keep saying all this, like, oh, we're doing things behind closed doors, and we're not.
Everything that we have done on this legislation is about as transparent as it can be. I think that it's pretty clear that I'm leading the effort to rein in Wall Street, so I'm going to make sure that in this legislation, I do everything within my ability to make sure that banks aren't too big to fail.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Congresswoman.
No, I mean, you know, this is the transparency issue was an issue that the Republicans tried to bring up in health care also. You know, our hearings are all videoed and put out there for the public. We've certainly been so transparent, more transparent than really many other pieces of legislation in history, and this is another example. We've been very transparent going forward. You know, I have a feeling the other side, we've had some stories about them having some closed-door meetings with the Wall Street executives, and, you know, what we want to do is just move forward here on this legislation that the American people are screaming for us to get done. When I go out and I talk to people, they say, what have you done about Wall Street so we don't end up in the mess we're in right now again?
Yep. Now, let's talk about the president was saying on tax day the other day that, you know, talking about the fact that he has cut taxes, as we know, on 95% of Americans, including small businesses. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, my husband and I have had a small business for a long time now, and I'm very excited about the health care bill and what that does for small businesses. You know, small businesses want to do the right thing. Our business, like so many others, is really a family-oriented business. We've had people who've worked for us for 20, 30, sometimes even 40 years. And when you're a small business and your premiums go up at the level and the rate that they've been going up in the last dozen, 15 years, you have to make very tough decisions. And so we've had to offer coverage that is less desirable each year. This tax credit that we have put in the health care bill is going to allow small businesses to actually, we're going to actually be encouraging them to offer health care coverage to their employees. And starting this year, 2010, they're going to be able to take a tax credit up to 35%, I'm sorry, of premiums, and that will go up to 50% in 2014. And this tax credit is going to increase, not go away. And I think that's very important to remember that those, it's for the smallest of our businesses, the fewer than 25 employees, but those are the businesses that have the most difficult time offering any coverage to their employees.
I have to ask, what kind of business do you have?
We have a landscape design build business. We have a design side and a construction side. We've been in business for 55 years. It was started by my father-in-law, but you know, we've been very successful, and we've had very loyal employees who we want to take care of. But honestly, I'm not happy with the insurance I have to offer them right now. I've had to ask them to pay more and more of it because most of my competitors don't offer anything. So right away, my labor burden would be higher than theirs, and it makes our business competitive if I continue to have a higher administrative cost, overhead cost.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you commute to Manhattan? Because I need some window box stuff done.
We could figure something out there.
All right.
Something that hides a stepladder would be really useful.
Yes. I've got a bunch of dead stuff in my window boxes. All right. Representative Kathy Dahlkemper, it's such a pleasure to meet you from the great state of Pennsylvania. We'll see you again.
Thank you. It's great to meet you.
All right. All right, thank you. There you go. You know what it costs in Manhattan just to get a geranium planted, for God's sakes?
Bless your work, do you?
Well, yeah. You know how much it costs to get a tree to grow in Brooklyn?
I don't know. How much?
Or Berkeley Square.
Oh, all right, we don't know. All right. Jim, this is as the official voice guy of the voice deity of the Stephanie Miller Show. Have you ever heard a story like this? A woman in London has suddenly started speaking with a Chinese accent after suffering a migraine, she said.
Yeah.
It's weird. She believes she has foreign accent syndrome.
What?
Jim Ward, Jim Ward also has that.
She made that up.
Wow, interesting.
She said, I spoke to my stepdaughter on the phone from my hospital, and she didn't recognize who I was. She said I sounded Chinese. Since then, I've had my friends hanging up on me because they think I'm a hoax caller.
That's weird.
I don't know. She's never been to China.
What? Maybe there's some vestigial Chinese gene left in her body where she remembers having...
That wouldn't cause someone to have an accent.
No.
I mean, there are plenty of people with Chinese genes living in America with total American accents.
Well, I know. But
and by the way, this is in England? Is this where
yes.
This is?
Yes.
Yeah, so she's a British Chinese accent. So a Chinese person who lives in England.
Well, or someone
was educated in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is different than a Vancouver Chinese accent.
I have heard of people going to other countries and suddenly being able to speak the language, never having studied it.
Wow.
It's some weird sort of psychic past life kind of
thing. I had an easier time learning Chinese than I should have, and after going to the...
You've been there before.
Yeah, after going to Beijing, I was like, oh, I recognize this.
Sure.
Oh, dear.
Sure.
But I also understand getting the accent when you move someplace, though. A lot of people crap on, like, Madonna for having a British accent now. Yeah. I dare you to live there for a while and not pick it up.
Well, I lived in Germany for about 3.5 years when I was a kid. And when we traveled, like, to England and Ireland, my American accent just was gone.
Gone.
I had some weird mid-Atlantic thing going on.
Yes. Kathleen Turner got a British accent every year just in time to host the Tonys, didn't she?
I know. It's strange. It's
weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's really
she's from the friggin' Bronx, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, lots more to get to on the big show, including Beaver Stack, which, Hal, I know you'll enjoy that.
No, I will. No.
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh.
All right.
You don't enjoy the beaver, Hal?
They don't come that way.
It's
the way I've they're not. No, no, it's
you
just not. The beaver's like a 1970s
beaver.
Term. I'm well past that. We've left that behind.
How does
nice
the beaver,
beaver.
Mm. Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
If I ever come across a beaver, I feel like an archaeologist. I'm like, look at this. I haven't seen one of these in a long time. When's the last time you actually saw one, Chris? Really?
I think I've mentioned that I am broadcasting.
Right. That's what I mean. What are you talking
about? Stephanie, you were saying?
Yes.
Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying I'm broadcasting from a different studio here in New York because my old one it blew up last night in some sort of...
It exploded.
18 minutes after the hour, back with the Beaver Stack, Celebrity Stack, and much more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes. Hal Sparks and I still smoldering from 70 Miller Sexy Liberal Show here live in New York City this past Saturday. Hal Sparks is going to be performing live. Where will you be?
I'm at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival this weekend with a whole slew of... It's actually becoming very hip and very cool. It's Thursday and Friday and in Portland, Oregon. And then I will be at the Snoqualmie Indian Casino on Saturday singing Beatles songs for the Imagine a Cure benefit with Roger Daltrey, Vince Neil, very possibly Eddie Vedder, and a whole slew of other folks from Pearl Jam and Bad Company.
And that's in the Seattle area, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I will be I'll be doing Revolution and Come Together.
Ooh.
These are my two songs that I'm doing.
HalSparks.com for more HalSparksian information.
Oh, yes. And at HalSparks on Twitter, which is a great way to...
All right.
And
I'm guessing that you'll be booking a trip soon to play in Austin, Texas, who they are dealing with a beaver boom.
Oh, no.
Is that like a sonic boom?
Bust down there with a razor. And...
Well, it depends, Jim. Julia in Seattle sends us the beaver news. Beaver boom causes debate in Round Rock neighborhood. When Robin Sutton moved to a house along Brushy Creek... 5 years ago, she found a furry neighbor... had arrived. It was frightening. We weren't sure what it was, she said.
She wasn't sure what...
And then we realized it was beaver. Sutton describes them as mostly good neighbors who only come at night.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's not
true.
I
beg to differ.
I've seen all sorts of footage of beavers in the daylight.
Yes.
Often they surface from a deep hole.
Oh.
Typically, she says what they'll do is girdle a tree. I did that once in college.
I love
then
that position.
Once.
Then they'll eat their way all around until they're... okay. Let's see. Mammologist John Young said he's been receiving... He's a mammologist.
Mammologist. Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
He's been receiving more calls than usual about beaver gnawing on trees. He said it may be due to a beaver boom. 2 years ago... beaver took down one big tree, he said. That's a big beaver.
Nice
takes down
beaver.
A tree. At that time, the Homeowners Association, which is just abbreviated from here on in as HOA...
HOA.
Seriously, H-O-A.
Yeah,
that's great.
The current HOA... has told Sutton it would cost too much to get the rest of the trees professionally wrapped. So Sutton says, so I called the HOA, And I said,
wrap up the trees, people. It's for your
Can
own.
We get the Very trees good. Wrapped up?
Yeah.
That's when she found out about the Ho's intentions to hire someone to install underwater traps that could kill the beaver.
Being, always be nice to the beaver. Always treat
you don't
with
want to
kindness
shoot
and respect.
You do not want to shoot the beaver.
Mm-mm.
Even removing beaver oftentimes doesn't get rid of the problem because if it's an attractive beaver habitat, more beaver can come back.
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the goal.
Sutton doesn't think...
Yes, absolutely.
Sutton doesn't think the HOA has considered all their options and hopes that the neighborhood can find another way for the beaver to stay in their habitat. We have kind of a responsibility to adapt to them and do what we can to coexist with them since they've done pretty well coexisting with us.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have done a very good job coexisting with beaver, haven't
absolutely.
You? It can be done. It can be done.
Done yeoman's work.
No mm-hmm. no beaver IEDs or IUDs for that matter.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly.
We want to save the beaver.
See, Hal? You didn't think you'd like beaver stack, and you did. Okay.
Yeah, we dragged you down. He was resisting for the longest time. Then we dragged him down.
I just, you know what I mean? You know, and it's wrong. I should like beaver in its natural habitat, as it were, but I don't. I, you know.
You go to the beaver zoo.
Yeah, I prefer a modernized, you know.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
All right.
Is there a landing strip near the beaver zoo?
Exactly, right. Yeah, like if they have their own beaver airport, they would have a landing strip.
Mm-hmm. Okay, see, now he will not end beaver. Now
yeah,
he will not end beaver. It goes on and on and on with the beaver stack.
I have beaver envy now. That's good.
All right, let's...
paging Dr. Freud.
All right, celebrity stack. Well, actually, it's entertainment stack. What the Fox? Guess what we need? Another right-wing network.
Yeah.
No. Right. Oh, dear God. Right Network, a new right-wing TV and internet media venture set to be launched this summer to entertain, engage, and enlighten Americans who are looking for content that reflects and reinforces their perspective.
That's so going to work.
And in response, CNN will move even further to the right.
Yes.
Actor Kelsey Grammer appear. He of the flatulent wife. Could
yes.
I just? I'm just saying we. And we sympathize. It's just that she's done PSAs for irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, it's not that she has gas. It's just that her bowels will tend to curse out people on buses and in line at Starbucks.
Shut up!
Yeah. Oh, what the hell? I need a nap.
I said I wanted a venti!
Yeah, right.
He appears in a number of web videos promoting the network, complaining things just aren't right, like
things
big government, more taxes,
right.
Grown man tickle fights,
what?
Yes. $1 trillion deficits, and bureaucrats.
Grown man tickle fights?
Apparently that's one of the biggest problems facing America, is grown man tickle fights.
In the Republican side.
Yeah.
Well, no, Eric Massa was a Democrat.
Yeah.
See, that's his point. Everything bad is...
All right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right Network also appears to have the backing of the chairman of Comcast, a subsidiary. Right Network will be the perfect platform to entertain, inform, and connect with the American majority.
The people voted for Obama?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guess who won the White House and the Congress in a majority?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll tell you more about this new network and what it might mean for MSNBC as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm one of 30 million now existing American women with sexual dysfunction.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere in the midst of hump days with Hal Sparks.
Hello.
So we were talking about they're launching another it's called Right Network, apparently.
Get it? Because we're always correct.
Because there aren't, God knows enough, there's no such thing as a Fox News or a billion right-wing radio stations. We need someone to represent.
Don't you think that's just going to draw viewers from Fox?
Yes.
It's not like anybody else is going to go clamoring.
Yeah, they're going to get teabagged by another right-wing
network. Well, this is going to be the Tea Party network. It's going to be even further right than Fox, if you can get that far.
Well, what they're saying is one of the guys behind from a Comcast subsidiary is involved in this. I love that Right Network is going to be for people who work for a living. See, that's the thing they like to say is apparently left-wingers.
Unlike Glenn
jobs.
Beck, who makes $32 million a year
and
says he doesn't give a crap about politics.
Other videos on the company's website promote, rate for it, right-wing comedy shows.
Which are always hilarious.
Yes. Oh, Hal, I don't know if it'll be indelicate for me to bring this up, but I watched, you know, I've been having a raging bout of insomnia. Chris, what have I watched just this week?
Silver Streak.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Gene
yes.
Wilder movie.
Yeah. Get down.
What else? Oh,
get
I found
down.
Out what that shaky
what?
Thing is.
What shaky
the,
thing?
No, the weight. The what
oh, the shake weight.
Oh, I love that.
The shake weight. Infomercial.
Yes. Uh-huh. I've learned all sorts of late night wonders, including Red Eye on Fox.
Oh, right. With Greg Gutfeld.
I've been on there.
Hal's been on that show, Stephanie.
Yes, I know. I
as has our dear friend Diana Falzone, whom you met last week.
Yes, she is fabulous.
Yeah.
Show.
Right.
Yes. You face know what I'm saying.
Face bleeding. Eyes bleeding. Yeah. And,
yes.
And if you
it's
think they're miserable on air, you should see them off air. That's the fun part. Like these, I thought you guys would revel in the fact that you are, you know, right-wing psychopaths who think you're getting your way. But they're actually off air. They're like...
Yeah, but my point is right-wing and comedy.
Oh.
Right-wing and comedy?
Says no.
Not so much.
Well, that's because they want to joke downhill. They want to make fun of people in a less strong position than themselves. You know, this is my problem with Lisa Lampanelli and some of the joking where they're like, hey, I make fun of everybody equally. Well, the problem is everybody's not in an equal position.
Right.
If you make fun of somebody who's got $1 million and somebody who just got mugged, who do you think takes the joke a little harder?
Mm-hmm.
And they never seem to write that into it. It's like, yeah, I make fun of Mexicans, but I make fun of white people, too. Well, white people are in control. So you can a joke can roll off your shoulders much easier.
Hey, I make fun of the guy kicking the guy in the concrete just as I make fun of the guy who's getting his head kicked in.
Yeah, while helping the guy kick
him. Right.
Here's the only good news out of this is, you know, a lot of people have speculated, right, Chris, on whether Comcast buying NBC Universal, whether they do anything to MSNBC because Comcast is very right-wing.
Well,
but what they're saying out of this is they're not going to tamper with MSNBC. So, good, let them do their other far right-wing whack network and leave MSNBC alone.
I don't think it's a matter of ideology. I think it's just a matter of money. If MSNBC is making money, they are, they're going to leave
it
alone.
Making more money if it were available.
Exactly. They actually vote against, again, like a lot of cable stations and hotel chains don't carry it for political reasons.
Right.
When it would actually make the money. They're making an active choice because in the same way that something may cost you votes in your district if you're Republican, but you're getting this so much money from
kickbacks.
Your hand.
And any of us that travel around the country can tell you can't get MSNBC hardly anywhere when you...
Right.
Speaking of which, Mama will be on MSNBC on Friday on The Ed Show.
Nice segue, madam.
Thank you. And also, another dream of Mama's has died, and that is being Larry King's ninth wife.
he's already...
He might not get a divorce after all, is it? Is good. I hope he doesn't. His lawyer said there's a 50-50 chance the divorce is not happening. He said his focus is on his best interest of his children. It's not clear to me which way he's going to turn on this issue, according to his lawyer. All right, and I'm not reading any of the other mean things because I'd like to be on Larry King.
Yes. Bernou in the chat says that
jokes and
Bernou in the chat says Larry King does look like a lizard, though, unfortunately.
Oh.
So,
Divorce court. Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Love my Larry King. All right.
Gila Monster. Hello.
Oh, stop.
Sorry. Suspenders on a gecko. Hello.
Stephanie, don't laugh. Scold Hal. Scold Hal.
No, you can scold me. It's fine. I'm still smarting from when I was on promoting Queer as Folk with the entire cast. That was when he was playing Magic Shuffle with the blue cards, going, House Box, straight actor, gay, roll, go. What? Like, who are you talking to? That was just a series of words in random order.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. Bless his heart, he says. The man has a national television show every day.
You got to send me a clip of that. I thought nothing would ever top you. What was my favorite, Chris?
Liza Minnelli.
Oh, the Michael Jackson coverage when he had Liza Minnelli on from Paris.
Yeah.
And she was just going insane and talking over Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
He was like, Liza, one at a time. Oh, Larry, I'm beside myself. I'm distraught, Larry.
Shut up, Gypsy Broad. My show.
Trying to talk to Quincy Jones because
then he brought up the molestation. Larry, it's not true, honey. It was never true, Larry. Oh, honey, it's just not true. Oh, it was awesome. God, I love that show so much.
Hello.
Right.
Oh, just to hear him speak the words, Dame Elizabeth Taylor tweets, and then he read. The greatest. It was magic.
Dame Elizabeth Taylor tweets.
Oh, honey, I love Liz. Oh, I love you, Liz. All right.
Oh, God.
That was Awesome show. All right. Oprah Winfrey's Aunt Catherine apparently opened her big pie hole for this Kitty Kelly book.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
She said she grows more upset the more the deeper she reads into the biography. She said, I'm sorry this book portraying her falsely was ever written and that I participated by answering questions. What do you think, Kitty? What kind of book Kitty Kelly wants to write? Oprah, I didn't know that I was going to
know. Kitty Kelly. What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Oprah has now cut off Aunt Catherine, and Aunt Catherine is upset.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't. Oh, dear. Aunt Catherine has learned the hard way.
Yeah. You don't cross Oprah.
Do you think Oprah's still running around her offices screaming, who told somebody that I f***ed John Tesh in the 70s? Oh!
It might have been John Tesh.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
if I was John Tesh, I would...
He's notoriously chatty.
If I was John Tesh, I would be on Maury Povich saying I was having Oprah's baby just to get a piece of that kingdom. It looks like gas to me, John. No, it's her baby. Trust me. I wrote a piano song about it. I'm playing it at Red Rock this weekend.
Which sounds exactly like the other 10,000
wave songs. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You're quite the tweeter. Have you gotten any celebrity Twitter war with anybody?
Well, I've certainly, had my fair share of tweets back and forth with the TMZ kids, because I picked a fight with them, a fist fight with the entire cast, and that still stands. For charity, I will beat them all up in a boxing ring of their choice. They can wear as much padding as they want, but they all have to come in at once.
Wow.
Me against the entire cast. Anyway, okay. So Dax Holt, one of the guys in there, thought it was I was kidding around, and then they turned it into a personal fight, like I was picking on him, and I went, no, not just him. I mean, he's a douche, but I mean, all of them. They're all equally awful. I'm not discriminating. They're a terrible group of people. And so, yeah, that went on for a little while. But they thought I was kidding, and then when they realized I was kidding, they just blocked and unfollowed and ran away.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, Reba McEntire and Kirstie Alley are having a Twitter fight. Apparently, Reba McEntire made a Kirstie Alley fat joke at the Country Music Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirstie tweeted, Reba, wow, thought we girls would stick together. Next time you need a fat joke about me, just ask. Mine are funny.
Bang.
Ooh, wrestling match. Reba's a little outside of her weight division there.
Yeah.
Right. Jim, see, you made a Kirstie Alley fat joke now.
You get some cooking oil and the right kind of a receptacle, and the two of them just...
Well, Reba's a little long in the tooth to be wrestling
fights
anybody.
With
Kirstie
Alley.
Now we've made old and fat jokes.
Well,
come on now. Kim Kardashian only posed for Playboy because her mother told her to.
Oh, sure. Right.
Oh, boy. I believe that. I'm waiting for the day my 87-year-old Republican mother goes, Steffi... Maybe if you stripped, your career would go better.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, who cares?
I mean, did she talk you into getting the job at the Itchy Kitty?
She admits she regrets bearing all for the publication in December 2007, was urged to do so by mother Kris Jenner to promote the Keeping Up with the Kardashians TV show. That's a special kind of mom.
Weren't
there.
The Kardashians, the aliens in Star Trek Next Generation?
Yes.
Weird trapezoid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Uh-oh. Here's some upsetting news. Snooki is single. What?
Oh,
wow. What are we ever going to do?
Oh, man.
Superficial says Snooki.
You know what? I got stuff to do. We had...
Did I mention I'm married? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we have... I got a thing about...
The superficial writes, Snooki apparently ditched the only man willing to have sex with her sober, according to TMZ. We're told the Jersey Shore actress believes her formerly favorite Guido was cheating on her. In this guy's defense, he probably thought the leather ottoman was Snooki.
Snark much?
Yeah.
A little snark.
Yeah. That was from TMZ, so they can...
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's baby mama talked about the split and promised the truth would soon be revealed. What does that mean?
The truth?
Cue dramatic close-up followed by the lost boom. I can tell you that we've split up suddenly and recently. Unfortunately, I cannot give you the reason, but you will find out everything quite soon.
Oh, we'll be revealed.
She's going to have a tell-all book written in Hebrew just to piss him off.
Yeah, let me guess. I don't know. He's an anti-Semitic drunk.
Yeah.
Is that the breaking news?
Yeah.
All right.
Because she wouldn't have 19 more kids. Is that what
exactly.
broke them up? She's not becoming a hive baby machine like the queen alien in Aliens? She's like pumping out eggs and...
Queen Tufta Mom.
Yeah, right, just strapped to some sort of apparatus, and you walk into the room and all the eggs open. You're like, run for your life! Mel Gibson's babies! You're going to attach them to your face and fill your guts with their symbiotes.
Flying out like ping pong balls and ping pong.
All right, that concludes Celebrity Stack. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments of Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Rich writes, by the way, John McCain looks sort of Panamanian. He better have his papers with him next time he goes to Arizona.
Because he was born in the Panama.
He would not qualify as a presidential candidate under that new law that they have passed.
Exactly.
There's only one positive thing I found out of the whole thing.
Wow.
It's kind of like Joe Lieberman is the only thing that makes me happy that Al Gore was not given the election.
Yeah,
that he won.
Right.
There is one bright, find the silver lining. That's it.
I'm afraid Al
Speaking
Al
of elections.
Right.
Speaking of elections, I mentioned earlier, I think Charlie Crist, Chris is finally realizing that the Republican Party doesn't, they don't like people like him.
That's right. What kind of people?
Moderates. Moderates.
Tidy. Uh-huh.
Tidy, neat. Excessively tan.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting a lot of advice in that direction. And so I'm a listener. And so I'm certainly listening to it.
They don't like listeners. That's close to empathy.
That's French and gay.
Yeah.
It's especially gay.
Exactly.
What?
Oh, and the other breaking news, Marco!
Rubio!
Oh, dear. Having a little IRS difficulties.
Oops.
They're investigating.
Not affiliated with Rubio's Fish Tacos. No, way, apparently, affiliated with. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what? Buddy has sent a Steph Aptitude Test Part 2.
Oh, really? Nice. Well, this is going to work. Okay.
There's a lot of testing. I didn't think any of this would be on the test. All right. If Stephanie needed a kidney and Rebecca was a match, what would her answer be if she wanted to donate a kidney? What's in it for me? Are you kidding, bitch? Go ahead and get your kidney taken out. I'll meet you later at the hospital. All of the above. I think all of the above is the answer there.
That's about right.
Rebecca's not a fan. No.
No.
Uh-huh. No. I am not one of your fans.
Uh-huh. I know. All right. After drinking games with brown liquor, does Chris LeBoy pee in the shower?
No.
No, you still
pee. I don't know. I don't have drinking games with brown liquor.
He pees in the bed.
Yeah, right. Like a respectable human being who's been drinking brown liquor all night long.
What big budget movie did Jim Ward get exploded in? Ooh, is there only one?
It's only one.
I'm going to say Spider-Man,
that
right?
That was it. That's it.
Yeah,
and now
he's
in Spider-Man 2.
Exactly. We share a lot more than our love of long YouTube videos.
Where did Chris LeBoy have to shop as a plus-size youth?
Oh.
Yeah, the Sears Husky Boy section,
yes,
correct?
The Sears at the Indian Hill Mall in Pomona, California.
Oh.
The tough skin husky section.
Yeah, I had those two.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Despite living together, how come Steph has not had sex with Hal? Number one, Hal's not comfortable with Steph's dogs watching. Number two, fear of excitement-induced incontinence issues with Steph. Or three, Hal's junk looks forward to staying at Steph's for some rest. That's true. He needs somewhere to rest his junk.
That's true.
For God's sake.
Home is where you hang your junk.
You know what he said? You know what he said? I forgot to tell you this. When he came in the next morning after whatever, the last night he stayed with me, I said I was united, and he said my should be bronzed. That's what he said. That's what Al Sparks said.
Was that meant for air? Was that meant for public consumption?
It's not so much.
She doesn't care.
It's not so much.
And secondly, I don't have to worry about that because anybody with any kind of that watches, it has any pop culture reference at all, knows that that is actually a line from 48 Hours. That's what it was more in reference to as opposed to what I was actually doing the night before.
But that being said. It's not so much a crash pad as a pit stop.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What are the names of us?
Depends on your definition of pit.
What are the names of Steph's horse-sized dogs? Oh, that's easy. Max,
Max
and Fred.
Fred.
That.
Max. Max looks like a Max, and he looks like you're aware that Max is his name. Like, I'm Max.
They miss you on the Daily Iditarod.
Kind of Maximus.
I know.
All right, what is the name of the guy who put... Oops, sorry. What is the name of the guy who puts together video and audio clips for Steph, and what's his real job? Shane Owen, he's a lawyer, everybody.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know Shane was a lawyer.
Yeah. Hmm.
According to Jim, what gemstone holds the key to the JFK shooting? Oh, I get it. Jack's ruby. See, that's a funny. That's a joke, and also...
Not very funny.
Okay. Finish this name, Bradley.
Schlossman.
Schlossman. He actually talks like that.
He really does.
He doesn't put it on. It's just his real voice.
Really?
He sounds like the mouse in that Rankin-Bass cartoon about the clock.
Exactly. All right. And finally... If you have family values and your job is an executive for the Young Republicans, how do you wake up other men in your house? By putting your... in their... Yeah. Okay. That's all right.
I beg your pardon?
By accidentally falling on their...
There's been quite a few stories where...
Where Republicans have woken up and found their friends' junk in certain areas.
Yes. That's the difference in our sex scandal. Democrats tend to have sex with people that are conscious.
Consensual sex scandals, absolutely, yeah.
I think we should use that in the midterms. Democrats, at least we have sex with people that are awake.
Yeah, right.
All right.
The GOP, the Ambien and KY party.
That would be a party.
All right, right. Jim, we had Elizabeth Kucinich on yesterday before you were there, so you wouldn't get all squeezy with her.
Mm.
Our listener said it turned into the super hotline.
Mm, yes. Man. Nothing but fine.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been talking. She's talking about these school lunch.
Yummy. What? Mm. Sorry.
All
yes.
right. Hmm? Speaking of which, she's working on the school lunch stuff because we obviously childhood obesity a huge problem. But she mentioned the story in the news today. More than a quarter of young male adults are, or excuse me, a quarter of young adults are unable to meet physical requirements to join the military, creating a potential threat to national security. Said a group of retired armed forces leaders. I was saying this is how we can get the Republicans on our side. They're like, they're too fat to be cannon fodder. Well, now we're for the school lunch thing. Fine then. A former general said it's not drug abuse, it's not asthma, it's not flat feet. By far the leading medical reason is being overweight or obese. Mission Readiness Report, Too Fat to Fight, said that 75% of young Americans between 17 and 24 do not qualify for the military because of either failure to graduate, criminal records, or physical problems.
Wow. Obesity. Too, they really call the report Too Fat to Fight?
Yes.
I mean, if you're really obese, basic training would pretty much kill you.
Anyway,
every time I see George Zunza dressed in a Marine uniform in the movies, it's like they don't make him that big in the Marines.
He said. Well, anyway, but he said we can't wait until our young adults reach enlistment age to do something about it. By that time, they've already developed a chronic and lifelong weight problem. Yep. They urged Congress to pass this new, that Elizabeth was talking to us about yesterday, this new childhood nutrition law to remove school junk food, improve nutritional standards, quality of school menus, and open access to anti-obesity programs.
That's expensive. Getting really good fresh food is expensive.
Not as expensive as not having soldiers.
True.
Like not having to hire Blackwater guys to fight all your battles for you because you can't actually place.
Well, maybe that's part of the plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Privatize everything.
You know, speaking of which, in terms of exercise, I'm not sure why this is a problem. The story is Crocodile Hunter's pool used by aerobics class.
Oh.
Now, see, that would get you some real exercise.
Sure. Yeah, it would. Running from a croc?
The bi-weekly water aerobics class at a holiday park in northern Australia was postponed when an unwanted guest entered the pool a 5-foot long... Now that's some aerobics.
Right.
I mean, that's some motivation there, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's not a croc.
Nah.
This is a croc.
Here you go. Look at this fella.
I think they're going to start doing it on purpose in aerobics.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Moving a little slow. Perhaps you haven't noticed. The
two and left and right and croc. And dodge the croc and croc. And croc and step on the back and jump on the back and hold the nose.
Spitting off your arm.
Right. Put on the tourniquet and run away.
That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, and, of course, Hump Days with Hal Sparks, delightful as always. Tomorrow, Reverend Jim Wallace and also Representative Loretta Sanchez join us then for the Stephanie Miller Show.